Welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast. This is your host, Zachary Alexander, Enterprise Architect at SubscriptionMaker.net. Please hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast so that you won't miss any new episodes. Today, we are talking with Meredith Elliott Pyle. Meredith is a business growth expert. She was voted one of the top 15 business growth experts to watch by Currency Fair and a top sales expert to follow by LinkedIn. The reason we are talking with Meredith is because we wanted to speak with someone who knows business growth about executing a well-architected pivot. It's not enough to simply change swim lanes. You've got to concentrate on growth so that you can reach critical mass with your subscription services. Meredith, welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Did I get that right? Is there something more you'd like to tell us about your business?
Well, I think that, you know, I think there's certainly a lot that I could tell you about my business, but I really think the thing that's pertinent now is I love the fact that you picked up on the term pivot, because that's really what we're all trying to do is what's the move that we should make in order to figure out how to be successful right now. And I'm pretty much like all of your listeners in trying to figure that out for myself. But the difference, I guess, in my business is that I'm thinking that out loud and trying to help people navigate that pivot as I navigate it myself.
How long have you been a professional speaker / business person?
Yeah, so I went into business for myself in 2005, which sounds like a million years ago now. So my first experience was that big old crash of 2008, and I became a professional speaker in 2010. A lot of the reason I did was because of the crisis of 2008.
So you've seen a lot, right?
I have seen a lot, and I'll tell you, I was thinking this morning how important wisdom and experience are right now. That if you have ridden a few downturns, it gives you the combination of grit and hope that we will get through this.
Have you ever had to pivot your career or your business?
Yeah, I've had to pivot it more than a few times. I mean, first of all, I thought it was on the corporate trajectory. I thought that my life was going to be secure that way. I had the big job and the big office and the big benefits package. And I just turned around one day and that wasn't the future that I wanted. And I walked away from all of it to start into business for myself. Then 2008 happened. I was 100% niched in the financial services industry. Talk about a big mistake at that point, because the bottom fell out of the one industry it fell out of. Was financial services. And so I had to pivot right after that and rebuild. And here I am again. You know, I make the majority of my living as a keynote speaker. And who knows when crowds will be allowed to gather again, or even if that's going to be a thing. So I feel like I'm smack in the middle of pivot for probably the third major time in my career.
What's that process like when you're doing in the middle of a pivot?
Yeah, I think the... you know, I love that you've asked this question, because I'm just going to give you what I'm doing and what I'm observing. And that is that I'm watching everybody try to turn on a dime, right? Like now everybody is delivering virtual everything and they're experts at doing all that type of thing. That's not how a pivot works for me. What I'm trying to do is, we've all been shut down now for the month of April. So at least the month of April, maybe the month of May, maybe part of June, I'm really going to try for some still time and really try to see where things are going, where the marketplace is going. So step one for me is to stop and to research and to learn. I've got a combination of things that I'm researching, from everything of what this virus is doing to us present day, to at the same time, I'm trying to read information and research as to what people are expecting life is going to be like after. And somewhere in the middle of that, when I'm done with the research, I'll start to make the shifts with my business. But I think moving too fast is dangerous, in the sense that nobody knows what's going to happen right now. At the same time, we've all got to pivot a little bit, because we've still got to make a little bit of money as this thing is going on. So I may be offering some things differently than I did before, but how my business will look a year from now, I'm not exactly sure. And part of my strategy to make that pivot is to give myself the time.
As subscription makers, we're always trying to find ways to grow our business. For the record, a subscription maker is a play on the term rainmaker. The idea is that if you want recurring income, then you need to become a subscription maker. I heard you speak about risk and value. What does that mean?
Well, wow. I think that I think risk and value are probably more important than ever in the sales process than they've ever been. I mean, so before this crisis, I really came up with that term after the crisis of 2008, because I noticed probably just like this crisis that some people's businesses grew and they grew rapidly in the middle of that crisis. But what they did was they didn't focus on the price of what they sold or the product. They focused on the risk that somebody will experience if they don't buy the product. And more importantly, the value they will gain if they do. And the reason I think this is important is because here we are 3 weeks, a month into this, right? Well, now the exhaustion is starting to set in of, okay, I'm tired of hearing about COVID-19. Maybe this is going to be our new reality. What do I need to do to be successful? That's what your customers are thinking. Well, you need to be ready to sell to them, but sell to them in a way that making an investment for them is so worth the return on investment. So you've got to learn to sell the risk and value, because that's where the sale is going to be made. And you can help people right now. You just need to get out there and do it and understand how to make it in their language.
You talk a lot about finding the right customers. Could you talk a little more about that?
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings is, here's a newsflash, not everybody wants to do business with you. And here's another newsflash, you don't want to do business with everybody, right? I mean, everybody listening to this podcast right now has that one customer that if I told you, you had to have a conversation with them today, or, you know, you could, go to the dentist and have a tooth pulled out, you'd be in the dentist chair faster than you could, you know, blink. So The important thing in today's marketplace is that business grows because we make customers happy. I mean, that's really our strongest avenue to grow our businesses, is to make the existing customers we have happy. So the better job you do of picking the customers that you can make happy, the faster your business is going to grow. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make is trying to chase business that is, one, never going to close, or if it does close, that customer is never going to be happy. And you've got to understand that what is being said about you in the marketplace is how prospects choose you. So shorten the sales cycle by choosing the right prospect, and you choose the right prospect by really knowing your best customer.
Could you add on to that by talking about follow-up?
Yeah. So I could do a whole show on follow-up. I love that you put these together, right? Because the idea is I've chosen the right prospect, right? So I have put myself in the area where it's likely that I'm going to close the deal. Because the better I'm in front of the right prospect, the faster my deal is going to close. But in all honesty, what are the chances in life that we are going to call on somebody at the exact moment they're ready to buy? That our email is going to get in front of them? That our video is going to be there at the exact moment they're ready to pull the trigger? It's slim to none. And so in today's marketplace, the sale happens in the follow-up. It always happens in the follow-up. But the problem with follow-up is that either people don't do it because we give up after 2 to 3 times, or we follow up so much that we annoy the heck out of people. And I always like to say that what follow-up is about, when somebody doesn't respond to you, it's not that they're not interested. It's that they've said, right now, you're not my priority. So it's about adding value and building a relationship. I always liken it to dating, right? Like, you meet somebody, you both kind of like each other. Well, you don't go on 25 dates, 25 days in a row, right? You nurture that relationship along. It's the same thing to close the deal. And, you know, we can put it in the show notes, but I've got 16 ways to follow up without being annoying that really starts to get your mind around the fact that follow-up should be a value-add nurturing relationship.
Next, let's spend a little time talking about online communities. The first reason we talk about online communities is because it's hard. It's not easy creating an online community. The second reason is because subscription makers need two things. They need an active and supportive community and a well-architected platform. So, I visited your YouTube channel, and as far as I'm concerned, that's an online community development. What has it been like building your YouTube community?
You know, I think that you know, I really went to YouTube or any online community that I've got, not having a clue what I was doing. And I think the first thing that you've got to do with building your community is just have the courage to build it and not worry about perfection. Because I think if you're trying to learn everything and get it right, you're probably never going to get started. I really started out with a lot of my YouTube. I thought it was just to put videos up there of me doing a speaking presentation or something. But honestly, I think where my YouTube channel started to grow and where the value became of it was two things. Number one is to post consistently, right? A couple of times a week, get something up there. And the video shouldn't be 30 to 60 seconds. The second is really add value in those videos. And the way that I choose to put things up there for my community is I listen to what people are asking. I listen to what people are concerned about. And that's what I shoot. That's what I shoot a video on. And I think that's how you build community. I'm also okay with it building slowly. I mean, I want people in my community who really want to be there and are active and engaged. So I think we have to be very open as to what the size looks like.
So that gets back to your belief that you need to find the right customers. You need to find the right community members.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a community is no good if they're not engaged and involved. It's easy to get the numbers up there. I mean, you can hire people to do that for you these days, but you want a committed group of people that share your information and that you believe that your message is ringing true, ringing true with them.
What advice would you give someone just starting out growing their community?
Yeah, I think the first thing is you need to really be clear on what you're adding to this community. What is your message? What are you passionate about? And I think that's a really first thing to do, because if you are passionate about it, you don't care if you have one person in your community. You're so passionate, you've got to get this message out there. And the way you build community is that it's got to be your message, not what you think people should be, what you think other people want to hear. It's got to be the things that you want to get out there, that you want to use to help people. So the first is to really tap that passion. And then the second is just provide information free of charge that is of value and makes a difference with people. And be patient, because the community will grow.
Okay, so we're getting close to wrapping up. As we start to wrap up, is there anything we've missed? Is there something you wish people would ask you more?
You know, I do think that I wish people would really get in their head that that selling is one of the most important skills that you can have. And when you are passionate about what you believe in, selling is really just about helping people, and to begin to shift your paradigm around that. Because if you can't sell, you will never get your message out to anybody. The other is that I am really good with falling on my face, making an idiot out of myself, dusting myself back up, and trying again. And I think it takes that, because this isn't easy, and you're going to learn along the way. And I named my business Motion First, because that's how I believe you learn. If we keep moving, progress is made. And progress gives you confidence, progress gives you experience, and progress gets you to the next level. And the last thing I'm going to say that I tell everybody is trust the journey. You're going where you're going because you're supposed to go that way.
Okay. Are you planning any new offerings? You kind of alluded to it. Is there anything you can tell us about?
Yeah, I'm super excited. As I told you, I'm really spending some quiet time trying to figure out what's coming up for me. And I've played along with getting my online courses set up for quite a bit. But I've got a new book coming out in the fall that I've been working on for 2 years called Thrive: Strategies to Turn Uncertainty to Competitive Advantage. I really thought this was a business platform for me. But in setting up my online courses, I'm going to be doing some business stuff, and I'm going to be doing some personal work around some things that you can do personally to build resilience and thrive, whether it's economic downturn, family tragedy, whatever it is. And I'm really excited about it, because I've been looking for years on how to blend my personal and my business challenges and triumphs, and I feel like I've found the path. So thanks so much for asking, because I'm not really sure exactly where this is going right now, but boy, it feels right.
Finally, besides your YouTube channel, what's the best way to follow what you're doing?
Find me on LinkedIn. I tend to live on the LinkedIn platform, and I post a lot of videos there. And I really do believe that if you build your network, you change your life. It's my, I think connections are everything. So I really want to encourage people, please reach out to me, because I will reach back out to you.
Meredith, thank you very much for joining us on the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a real honor.
This is your host, Zachary Alexander, Enterprise Architect at thesubscriptionmaker.net. Please join us next time as we talk about more about what it takes to be a successful subscription maker.